Newsweekly is an ad-free listener-supported podcast made possible by listeners like you. Just go to patreon.com/Sammy Shah to support the podcast. Top stories of the week. Is Kate a clone? Also, is Kevin nasty? All that and more on Newsweekly. Hello and welcome to News Weekly, where we punch the news in the headlines weekly. This is exactly how I got into glow-up news now. Look, I'm not going to lie. Last week I mocked this story and everyone following it. I said it was evidence of people desperate for something other than Israel-Gaza creating bullshit theories around the most who-gives-a-fuck story. That was last week. And then, like a man who scoffs at his partner's decision to watch the latest season of F-Boy Island, and then, before he knows it, is more invested in who is an F-Boy and who is for reals about wanting love, this week I'm all the way in on Watergate. Holy shit, what a story! It's got everything. A missing royal, possible death, maybe an extramarital affair, people with stupid official titles that makes me embarrassed for my ancestors that they got colonized by such a ridiculous fucking country, and supposed footage that everyone claims is definitely Kate, even though it definitely isn't. Look, this story was already crazy, what with rumors of William having sex with the marionette of colostomy and theories that Kate Middleton might be in a coma. But then we all looked the fool, because here's some perfectly normal and real footage of Kate and William walking through a farmer's market.
New pictures showing the Princess of Wales out and about for the first time since her surgery have been published.
Okay, but not seen her since Christmas Day out in public. Mm. This was taken, the little video was filmed by a member of the public. Remember, she's asked for privacy while she's recovering from her operation, but this was very much a public place, Windsor Farm Shop, a short distance from their home in Windsor. You see the two of them carrying shopping. She looks well, she looks healthy. And after all the conspiracy theories surrounding her, perhaps it will put to bed some of those rumours. She's on her feet, she's smiling, she's with William.
Is she? Really?
The main thing that people are focusing on, we have the height issue. So if you go back at previous pictures, you'll notice that the height difference is very different from the Kate that we actually just saw this past weekend. She's relatively shorter, she kind of reaches Prince William's neck, whereas like the new pictures, if you actually go ahead and screen grab and zoom in, they're relatively the same height. And if not the same height, she's a little bit closer to his nose, to his mouth area. And they don't believe it's her. It doesn't matter what kind of video we get, it doesn't matter how much you zoom in and try to tell people that it's actually her. People are comparing old pictures again from previous years and zooming in, and they don't believe it's actually Kate Middleton.
And if you're still not convinced, which I'll be honest, I'm not, here's the person who filed the footage. You know, the random individual who just happened to be the only person to get fleeting distant footage of the most famous missing person in the world since Amelia Earhart.
It kind of made me go, just seeing this couple being, nice to each other.
40-year-old Nelson Silva was in the farmer's market near Windsor Castle when he spotted the future king and queen.
I noticed this young couple by the bread aisle, and as I was looking at them, Kate looked back, and I kind of recognized her face. They were very casual, but good body language with each other, being warm with each other, giggling with each other.
He says conspiracy theories suggesting that's not really Kate are absurd.
Okay, fine. Here's my theory then. It is Kate in the footage, walking briskly and happily, despite being described as still recovering from abdominal surgery, by the way. But yes, it is Kate. But it isn't William. The man is a body double. That's my theory. Or it is her, but it's a clone. This is like the Spider-Man clone saga, but the Buckingham Palace edition. She's dead, they cloned her, which is why this happened.
Authorities in the UK are assessing a possible data breach at a London hospital involving Catherine's medical records.
Three of its staff members are reportedly alleged to have tried to access the personal medical information of Kate Middleton after she underwent abdominal surgery here in January.
They were looking for evidence that she's Kate 2.0. And by the way, it's not just me who thinks something dodgy is afoot. Here's Piers Morgan, the guy who once had the phones of Buckingham Palace staff hacked.
I mean, I've been told some stuff which is, if even half of it is true about what's happening here,
It's
pretty alarming.
And by told, he probably means heard it on an answering machine message he wasn't supposed to. So, we're all just supposed to believe Kate and William are fine because of some footage less clear than the Zapruder film. Her hair goes back and to the left. Back and to the left. Look, obviously I'm being ridiculous. It's just a woman taking time to recover from surgery and all the crazies obsessing over bizarre details because that's better than thinking about genocide, courts and climate change. The mature thing to do would be to leave this story alone, the way the most bland human in the UK, Labour leader Keir Starmer, has said we should.
Are you feeling sorry for the Princess of Wales at the moment?
Yes. I think that we should leave her alone. She's had a difficult operation and she deserves privacy.
Wise words there from, I can't remember his name anymore. But he is right. It's time to move on and not question why the future king and queen, who have an army of servants, were suddenly grocery shopping themselves in a farmer's market with no visible security arrangement, and his baseball cap was so low his face is barely visible and she looks younger than she has in a while. I'm sure it's all just nothing. A Trump insult is basically the American version of being knighted, news now. As America plummets towards its final ever election before transitioning from its republic phase to its mad dictators ruling a crumbling empire phase, Australia has struggled to make things about itself somehow. Luckily, former false advertising enthusiast and the face of Brexit, in that he helped create it and also looks like everyone who voted for it, Nigel Farage was on the case, asking Trump about Australia's ambassador to the US.
We also got China to think about, and our friends at Sky News Australia wanted me to ask you this. The AUKUS deal that's in place on nuclear submarines, America, you know, the UK, Australia, very, very important deal. It's there to try and combat that huge growth, naval growth, in China. But now, of course, things have changed in Australia. We've got a Labour government in Australia. The previous ambassador, Joe Hockey, I think was quite a good friend of yours. You got on pretty well with him. Now they've appointed Kevin Rudd, former Labour MP. I mean, he has said the most horrible things. You were a destructive president, a traitor to the West. And he's now Australia's ambassador in Washington.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Would you take a phone call
him? He won't be there long if that's the case. I don't know much about him. I heard he was a little bit nasty. I hear he's not the brightest bulb, but I don't know much about him. But if he's at all hostile, he will not be there long.
With all the excitement of a sexually frustrated middle-aged housewife who gets winked at by an aging tribute band guitarist at a pub gig, Australia has gone all aflutter at Donald Trump talking about Kevin Rudd. Even though it's clear from the way the question was set up that Trump has no clue who Rudd is. And you can tell because normally he's very specific with his insults.
Crooked Hillary. But you know, this poor, pathetic, low-energy guy. Little Marco. Little Rocket Man. Rocket fuel. We have Lion Ted Cruz.
And yet the best he could come up with for Kevin Rudd was this.
I heard he was a little bit nasty. I hear he's not the brightest bulb.
I mean, to be fair, half of that applies at least. Kevin Rudd is, by all accounts, a little bit nasty. Although no one would ever accuse him of not being intelligent. So, 50% accurate. Which is about as accurate as Obama was about Kevin Rudd once.
I find him smart, but humble.
See, Rudd is smart, but definitely not humble. Still, for Australia, this does create a bit of diplomatic tension. Although another former PM, Malcolm Turnbull, does think Australia shouldn't give in to Trump's bullying.
If there's a change of government in Australia next year, Malcolm Turnbull says Peter Dutton should resist the temptation to pull Rudd out.
That would simply send a message to Trump and to Washington that Australia can be pushed around.
Meanwhile, in other US and Australia news now.
Official US figures have put in doubt the timeline of delivery of AUKUS submarines to Australia. The Pentagon has released its budget showing the US will only build one additional Virginia-class sub in 2025. The first nuclear-powered subs are due to be delivered by 2032, but that timeline hinges on the US increasing production to about 2.3 subs a year. The possible setback comes on the anniversary of the Optimal Pathway joint announcement aimed at enabling Australia to take delivery of and operate nuclear subs. So Australia will hand over almost $5 billion to the UK's Rolls-Royce to build nuclear reactors for future AUKUS submarines. The funds will be paid out over the next decade and match a similar commitment made to the United States.
I don't know what Turnbull was worried about. America already knows it can push Australia around. The World in Briefs news now. In Gaza, the fight between Israel and Hamas continues, with both sides agreeing that they will continue to fight each other no matter how many Gazan children they have to kill to win.
The European Humanitarian Forum has been told that more children have been killed this month in Gaza than in the entire world in the last 4 years.
It's this, along with the increasing starvation and fighting in hospitals, that's resulted in the EU finally calling for a temporary ceasefire.
We have some breaking news coming in. The European Union has just called for an immediate humanitarian pause in the fighting in Gaza and for the unconditional release of all hostages being held by Hamas. It's the first joint EU demand for an end to the hostilities in Gaza.
And it only took 5 months and over 32,000 dead and an unknown amount more missing for the EU to take this bold and unprecedented step. And it's not just the EU. Even the US is now finally putting on a Ceasefire Now t-shirt and marching with a protest sign.
The US Secretary of State Antony Blinken has called for an immediate and sustained ceasefire in Gaza. Speaking in Cairo, Mr. Blinken also reiterated that any major military operation in the southern city of Rafah would be a mistake. There are growing concerns about malnutrition and severe levels of food insecurity as the delivery of humanitarian aid into the region stalls.
That stalling of humanitarian aid is also highlighted by Benjamin Netanyahu's government.
The Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, insists that Israel is doing all it can, but any logistical problems are the fault of the aid agency.
And to be fair to Israel, the aid agencies are trying to bring in things that Israel cannot allow, as highlighted by this UN official.
Well, there's a lot of stuff getting rejected for water and sanitation and for health systems. And particularly, you have like solar panels and for things like generators, spare parts for water and sanitation systems, they're blocked. Chemicals for treating water are blocked as well.
Meanwhile, as the major powers of the world focus on how they can gently nudge Israel towards not letting too many children starve to death in the humanitarian crisis in Gaza, they're ignoring the ongoing humanitarian crisis in Sudan, which is so forgotten that that's now become its official name.
Sudan's conflict described as the war the world forgot.
It isn't good when the war is still going on and is described that way.
Now, within Sudan lies another humanitarian crisis in the western region of Darfur, where the RSF's accused of targeting and killing non-Arabs, and there have been reports of hundreds of deaths. The RSF have repeatedly denied any involvement in the violence in the region, and they've called for an independent international investigation. The UN says that with 8.1 million people forcibly displaced and tens of thousands killed, this could trigger the world's largest hunger crisis.
So far, more than 15,000 people have been killed. But because it's Muslims killing Muslims, no one really cares, especially not other Muslims, it turns out. And finally, in Russia, in a shocking turn of events, Vladimir Putin won the latest presidential election.
Vladimir Putin has claimed victory in Russia's presidential election, handing him another 6 years in power. Election officials say Mr. Putin attracted almost 88% of the vote.
12% of Russians will now be thrown out of hotel room windows in celebration. That's it for this week's edition of News Weekly. As always, if you like the podcast, head over to iTunes, do the liking and the subscribing and the commenting and all of that stuff. Otherwise, I'll see you right back here next week on News Weekly, where we punch the news in the headlines weekly.